this to us. We get up every morning, and the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And I got to thinking about that old Negro spiritualist says, them bones, they're going to live again, they're going to walk again. Oh, it just revived my soul. And I thought, indeed, I can reach inside of me and find every skeleton in every closet and clothe it in life.
Yes.
I can do that.
Amen.
That's what we're doing here together.
Amen.
We're giving each other sinew, flesh, to walk again. We're using the four winds. It says he gathered up the four winds in his fist. Can you imagine? That's the mind, emotions, will, and desires. You have that power to say, hey, my son, to say, I'm in charge of this. I'm in charge. God put me down here to be in charge of this thing. So I don't have to be a peon or come behind in anything. Okay, Gary, you come be with us up here.
You know, sometimes we like to quote Jesus, but sometimes he says some pretty hard things. And as I was kind of contemplating a little bit this morning, I thought about the words that you will give account for every idle word that you speak. You know, that's something to really think about. Now, does that mean if we speak out of words that God is angry? Or that God is going to be unhappy because we speak out of words? I don't think so. The idle words that we speak can very easily put us in a prison and in a mindset. And I think the reason I thought of that this morning, I made a comment in my writing yesterday that I normally do on Facebook. And in the last paragraph, I talk about how that we oftentimes hear things. And I used Obama as an example, because there's so many people, probably half of the people in this country, at least half, consider him the worst president that has ever been in office. And I don't speak pro or against. Well, I have got caught up sometimes talking in a negative way. But I said, especially on the internet, we'll read something about Obama or somebody else, and because it fits in our line of thinking, we go ahead and forward that to everybody on our mailing list, not really even knowing if it's true. All of us have done that. We read something or we hear something, and we go ahead and we'll either forward it to everybody on our mailing list or we'll talk to everybody about it, not even knowing if it's true. And the reason that we give account for every idle word is that every word that you speak creates for you what you believe and speak. So I was caught in this trap for years. I know most of you have heard this before, but for years, all I could speak is, I'm never going to make it. I could never quit doing this, or I could never stop doing that. But the minute I got a hold of, and I believe a revelation, of every word that I speak, I'll be held accountable for, I began to speak what I believed in my heart to be true. See, we believe in our heart. We have no problem in our heart believing. But what we have a problem with is what's between our ears, the natural mind. And so if we need to really search our hearts as to what we not necessarily believe, but what do you know the truth is? Do you really know what the truth is? And if you will speak what you know to be the truth, that doesn't come out of the natural mind, but comes from deep within, and you begin to speak what you know the truth to be, you will begin an ascension process very fast. I came out of years of depression and habits and things that within a short time of me beginning to talk about and believe what I knew to be the truth began to change my life. Now, we all talk about ascension. Your ascension began the very moment you were regenerated. You began an ascension process. And for a long time, I didn't even know what that meant. But your ascension is in consciousness.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. The more you become consciously aware and practice what you know the truth is, the more you will ascend in consciousness. And I've often used the illustration of the Old Testament. How could you today get a group of people to believe that God wanted you to kill animals to be able to forgive you for your sins? Could you get anybody today to believe that? Why is that? Because mankind in general has been ascending in consciousness.
Yes,
we all do it.
Yes.
We don't all do it spiritually. We don't all do it by seeking God. But it's like the more people who have a right concept of God and begin to develop in consciousness and ascend in consciousness affects the whole planet.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So the people that are alive on the earth today who are walking in the reality of the kingdom, at least to a degree, are the people who literally will change the earth.
Yes.
Yeah. And there is such an awakening taking place today. Mm-hmm. Connie will probably remember, and Johnny, years ago when I began to minister, I had so much opposition it was unbelievable.
Yes.
I had every name called me when I started ministering on the internet and put up my website. I had some mainline ministries come against me. But today is exactly the opposite. Very, very seldom does anyone come against what I minister. Why is that? Again, it's the ascension of consciousness. It's the evolution of consciousness. That we are literally affecting the world.
Yes.
Now, that's a concept that everybody needs to get, because what you speak will not necessarily only affect you, but it'll affect the people around you.
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing we've been told is that, at least I was told, that thoughts really don't have any power. It's what you say that has power. But if we stop and really think about that, even what you think has power.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
That's why when you think about a past experience, if it was a very emotional experience, and you even think about it, it'll bring back all of those feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So thought is a powerful thing. And if you're one who thinks negative, especially about yourself, it's going to be very difficult for you to ever come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why gatherings like this are so important, because just sitting in a group like this can really affect you consciously.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, it does.
That's why I tell people, and I've said it for years, I don't care what you believe. I really don't. Because your beliefs, just your beliefs alone will not change your life. I mean, you can look all around us at the Christian system and see they all believe. They all believe in Jesus. Many people believe in divine healing. And I had a friend, if anybody believed that they could stand on the word and be healed, it was this friend of ours. He believed with everything in him. And he literally let himself die instead of taking a little medication that would have kept him alive, because he believed that he couldn't die. So, and I've had a lot of experience in seeing other people. How many people have you known, who ministers, who said they would never die? How many of them have died? And that's why I say, see, we can hang on to a belief, but yet the only thing that will really help you is what you know, not what you believe.
Amen.
What you have experienced, you know, and nobody can take that away from you.
Amen.
Lynn Hay said something that really got me to thinking about a year and a half ago. He said, in the original language of the New Testament, there is no such word as Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not in the language. It's just Spirit.
Yes.
And when I heard that, then I heard what the disciples asked believers. They said, what, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They said, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Because there's multitudes of people who, because they went to an altar and said the words, and they go to church, and they do all the things right, but yet have not received the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, how do I know if I receive the Spirit? That's a dumb question, because you know. Once that regeneration takes place and that spark of life in you is touched, nobody can take that away from you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you know. See, that's what I mean. The difference between belief. I can believe I'm a Christian. But if I don't have, at least to a degree, if I don't live the life that Jesus lived, if I don't have the love and the compassion, I have a belief system, but I don't know the truth. And that's why I say you can sit in an assembly like this, and even if you don't believe, the consciousness of the group, you will walk away with something deposited in you.
Absolutely.
And you may wake up 3 months down the road and have a real experience. When we begin to have confidence, and when I say confidence, I'm sure you know what I mean. Not the ego, egocentric, you know. But when we begin to have confidence in the ability of God to speak through us.
Amen.
Big change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what you speak not only affects you, but will affect everyone around you.
Yes, it does. Every word.
I have literally seen lives changed where I worked without preaching to anybody. And see, these are the kind of things we all long for. I know there's been talk for years about the manifestation of the sons of God. And how that one day it's almost like a rapture. One day, boom, Jesus is going to pop out. We're going to walk in divine health. We're going to empty hospitals. And we got our eyes set on these future events when most of the time we don't even really know what we believe. How do we know that we're going to empty hospitals? Now, I firmly believe that God does not cause you harm in any way. I firmly believe, I should say I know because I do know, God does not bring sickness and disease to you. But at the same time, I know that whatever touches me is for my good. And most of the time, what we feel is punishment or God doing something to us is a result of sowing and reaping. That law was put in effect so that you reap what you sow. How can you blame God for that? Yet I've known so many people. We had a good friend when I pastored in Oregon, and they were really givers. I mean, they did more than tithe, and they used to give us a lot, and really, they were really good to us. Well, they got into financial difficulty, and he lost his good job. And one of the first things he said to me was, "How can God let this happen? As much as we've done for the kingdom all of our life, how can God let this happen?" You know what that proves? I really don't know. Because when you really know, and you've been in that place where you experience that unconditional love of God, the problem is never with God. And one of the reasons I thought, you know, for him having that attitude is he needed to be exposed to what was in him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we all need that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period in time, I won't tell you the story because I think you probably all heard it, when Carol and I was married for, we had to be married for 2 years or more. This was 25 years ago. And in the first 2 years of our marriage, she never seen me angry. Not upset and not angry. Well, I thought I had that totally whipped. I didn't think I could get angry anymore. Until we went to a car dealer. And my anger came out. Now, did I feel bad about that? Well, in a sense I did, but I didn't really feel condemned over it because by that time I knew that whatever was the root of whatever was in me still had to be exposed. And so when you can look at it like that, you won't ever feel condemned. You'll just look at it and say, ooh, I need some more work on me. So a lot of times things that happen to us that we blame on God is simply a result of what is still in us that needs to be dealt with.
Amen. That's true.
We sang this morning something about, let not my enemies triumph over me. And most of the time, now y'all might not be like this, but most of the time when Christians sing songs like that, they're thinking about those enemies out there. And the only real enemies we have are anger, resentment, bitterness, anxiety, all of those things that keep you from walking in a close spiritual relationship. And once we realize that's what our enemies really are, but then not get condemned over it when something happens to you, because David said many years ago, in the presence of mine enemies, you have prepared a table for me. So in the midst of your anger, if you have a fit of anger, you begin to feed on spiritual food, begin to turn your mind towards the spiritual things, and your anger will dissipate.
Amen.
And the more you practice turning to what I call turning deep within, turning to your spirit within, no matter what your habits or hang-ups are, the more you learn to turn within, the sooner you'll have victory over those. And never have to feel condemned for what you do. Because God doesn't condemn you. Y'all know, probably my favorite verse in the Bible is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for their sin. So if God is not holding us accountable for what we do, why do we? And it's not that we live a loose life. I mean, if you want to live a loose life, then you don't really know what I'm talking about anyway. We haven't really, anybody who is looking for an escape to live a carnal life and do what they want to do has not had that regeneration experience. They might have went to an altar. They might believe Jesus. They might believe Jesus lives in them. And a lot of people do. But have you received the Spirit since you believe? Because if you have, you would take nothing for it. God corrects us in many ways. Basically, God corrects me by just pointing out the things that I do or I say, things in my life that shouldn't be there. But I've never heard a condemning voice from God. Ever. Never. You know where the condemnation came from? The carnal mind.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Revelation says they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb really isn't talking about a physical blood. I think you probably all know that. But the life is in the blood.
Amen.
We overcome by the life of the Lamb, the life that's in the blood. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? God used to ask me, what is your testimony? Why do you talk like you do? Your testimony will either cause you to walk as an overcomer, or it will keep you in defeat. Even we can find that so much even in the scripture, because it talks so much about the tongue, especially in Proverbs. And I think it's James that talks about the unruly member of the tongue that can guide you like a rudder guides a ship. Your tongue can guide your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So every idle word, boy, that would be something to say, I never speak an idle word. Wouldn't that be something? I can't say that. But we can be aware when we do it. And know that we have work to do yet as far as building a stronger relationship, spending more time in the quiet. I absolutely love the quiet. Because as long, and when I say quiet, I mean quiet. Because as long as you're in mind traffic, you cannot hear. I shouldn't say you can't, but it's very difficult to hear the Spirit when you got a lot of mind traffic going on. When I first began to practice being quiet and still, I couldn't still my mind for 30 seconds. But after a period of time, and a long period of time, sometimes now I can sit and close my eyes and just shut my mind down, and I can sit there for 10, 15 minutes. But if you sit in the quiet and you try to stop your mind, you probably won't succeed. What we need to do is, when you try to be quiet and you're trying to still the mind, which you can't do, but here's what you can do. When the thoughts come, just let them go. Don't stop and think about them. I share this a lot when I'm talking about sickness or something that happens to you. If you don't think about it, again, it's something you practice until you're able to do it. But when you're able to do it and a doctor pronounces cancer on you or something happens to you, if you don't think about it, you can have a peaceful life in the midst of any situation. But it's your mind that will cause you all the anxiety and all the hurtful things your mind can bring up to what this is going to be like or what you're going to have to go through. And your mind can literally keep you in turmoil. And again, you can't stop the thoughts from coming into your mind, but you can let them pass. And the more you let them pass without stopping and thinking about them, the more they will dissipate. Mm-hmm. Until eventually you can sit in the quiet for 10 minutes or whatever, 5 minutes. If you can do it for a minute, it's a miracle almost. But if you can do that, you might not at that period of time, you may not hear God say anything to you. I could sit sometimes for 5 or 10 minutes in the quiet and not hear a thing. But maybe an hour later, something will just pop in me. It's like lightning, just a flash of light, and you can, oh, now I know what that means. And it begins to change your whole concept about what you've been taught. I often say, all of us believe what we've been taught. Why do we do that? Well, it's just natural. We believe what we've been taught without sometimes any experience or any real proof that it's true.
Absolutely. Beautiful, Gary.
I was really blessed. As I was indoctrinated in religion, I was raised on a church pew. I always wanted God. But I was 29 years old before I really experienced anything spiritual. I read about it. I wanted it. I hungered for it. But when that happened, and you know then, because you change so much. Now, I didn't change outwardly hardly at all, but inside, there was such a, for instance, when I'd walk in church, I just began to weep. And at the time, I didn't even know why. But in those days, I'm talking about around 1969. In those days, you could walk in a Pentecostal church, and if you didn't feel something, you were definitely dead. It was a most wonderful thing. And so right after that regeneration experience, I was looking for a church. That's why I said, well, if you want a church that really loves God, you need to go to Pentecost. So I looked up churches, and I found Assembly of God pretty close to the top. So I went to the Assembly of God church. But I'll never forget it. I mean, here I was just regenerated just a few days before, and I walked in that church, and I walked in there and began to weep. I just didn't know why. But being regenerated creates within you, it brings to life in you all those genuine feelings of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you really then, you can really know love. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a love where I love you because you love me type of thing, but it's an unconditional love. And so I feel like, which we do as much as we can, I feel like that we need to preach the gospel in this country because there's not very many people hear the gospel. And you find that other cultures are different. Now, I went to Italy 2 years ago, and I spoke in Baptist and Pentecostal churches, and they absolutely loved to hear what I had to say, where most churches here won't even open the doors to let me in. So that's changing, and it's going to continue to change. But right now, the people, especially in America, inside and outside the church, they really need to hear the gospel of unconditional love and acceptance, and they need to be helped to get rid of this concept of an angry, vengeful, wrathful God who loves them but will torture them if they don't do what he says. It's amazing. And it's like Christians have to believe that because that's what the Bible says. It really doesn't, but that's what they believe it says, and that's what they're told it says. So how could you ever build a close relationship with someone that you're afraid of, and you look at your life, the way you live your life, if you're like most people, there's no way you can measure up even in a small way to being as Jesus taught in the New Testament. So what chance do you have of ever walking that peaceful life that Jesus talks about? My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but I give you my peace. And when you have my peace, you can be in any situation. You can walk above any circumstance that comes to your life. If you will just in a small way, if you just open to receive the love that I have to give, and to know that flows from me is absolutely no pointing of the finger. In fact, isn't that what I taught? No pointing of the finger. But just a flowing, an outpouring within the deep recesses of your being. If you would just open and even question. I'm not offended by questions. In fact, it's only by questioning that you'll really know the truth. Because you won't get the truth from most religious organizations. You'll only get the truth when you come to me with a humble heart. And then believe. At this present time, most people can't believe with their head. But didn't I say that there would come a day when I'd give you my heart? I'd put my word within you. And then I would even cause you to walk in my statutes. Can't you believe that? Am I not big enough to cause you to walk in my statutes? And how do I do that? By you experiencing the unconditional love that I have to give. People have thought for so many years that I was angry and vengeful. They even thought that I was so angry that I had to kill my son to appease my anger. That is such an erroneous thing. Because you see, I never required a blood sacrifice, but you did. The consciousness of mankind was so low, and you had to be able to look at someone who represented God, who was God in the flesh, that loved you enough that would die for you. You needed that identification to cleanse your conscience, to know that you were loved by God who came in the flesh and then died to prove to you that death cannot hold life. Mm-hmm. The Christian gospel has been so twisted, purposely twisted, to keep you in bondage to religious tradition, so that you could be manipulated by what you were taught to believe. Very few people have really known freedom. Those who come to know the truth are truly free. You are free to be who you are. If you have habits and you have hang-ups, you have problems, you're free to be who you are. And as you come and sit in the presence and gather together in worship and adoration, you will be changed through no self-effort of your own. Oh, that's the beauty of the gospel. Because the seed of life that is in you, all it needs is a proper nourishment and fellowship, the proper water. And the seed in you knows how to grow. The seed in you knows and has been predestinated to fulfill my purposes in your life. You don't have to be concerned whether or not that the life in you can do what it's supposed to do. If you can just relax in your imperfections, relax knowing that as you continue to feed and be watered and be nourished, that you will be what you are designed to be. Well, you say, what about the vessels of dishonor? The vessels of dishonor are doing the job that they're supposed to do. How would you like to have been Judas? I think if you wanted to talk about a vessel of dishonor, would it not be Judas? Have you ever possibly thought that Judas might have volunteered for that? That would make a vessel of dishonor turn into a vessel of honor. There's many things that we haven't allowed our minds to think about because of the religious tradition that we've been taught. But all is well, and all will end well. There isn't a person with the breath of life who will not one day fully reveal and manifest the glory that is within them. Each day we go from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. So don't look at your failures, or don't look at your inabilities, but look away and look within to the power of an endless life. Look within to the seed of life that will cause you in every circumstance that you're in to not only bear it, but to be joyful in it. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.